Cartoon fetish implantation. How many of you think or have had experiences with childhood cartoons implanting fetishes early in life? There are a litany of examples, from Scooby-Doo to Animaniacs to Totally Spies. There is something about them that triggers specific fetishes in people, even depending on the show. What is the mechanism at play here? Is it intentional? If so, who is doing it? What is their goal? I think it's part of a decades-old MKUltra plan to liberate society from itself one day by conditioning kids with certain sexual ethics from an early age. Then, once a sufficient population demographic could be programmed over a few generations, mass media could provide an activation signal. This is all true. Part of it actually comes from the writers of the show wanting to insert their own fetishes into the show because they want to see the animators draw their fetish, and as a writer, they have the power to commission the animators to make their fetish come true and then get paid for it even more than the animators are paid. Anyone who preferred Daphne to Velma as a monster, I'd sooner trust someone who wanted to fuck Scooby. There was a scene in Bambi where she stands up and pushes her butt out toward the camera, and it ignited a bestiality fetish, and I still live with it to this day. I don't want to hurt animals, but I'm not all that attracted to adult women bodies compared to dolphins and horses. I can never be fully sexually satisfied, can I? I think during the 90s, it was an unfortunate coincidence of innocent, cartoonish jokes. The cute girl, the main character, likes farts like a truck driver, has stinky feet, etc. But now what's happened is people that grew up watching those cartoons and probably acquiring those fetishes are making the new kids' cartoons. And it's this horrible feedback loop until you get eldritch shit like WebM related. Little Mermaid gave me a mild foot fetish. Can't see a woman's soles without getting my dingle hopper excited. Armchair pseudo psychoanalysis here. It's not like they implanted them. It's mostly unconscious, I believe. Basically, after the child realizes their genital distinction between the two sexes, the libido they developed for the female phallus has to go somewhere. A lot of people grow up now in front of the TV. They tend to realize the difference while watching a cartoon, and as cartoons, they tend to realize the difference while watching a cartoon, and as cartoons tend to use hyperbole, surreal scenarios, and of course, cartoon physics the child places his now freed up libido into, whatever he sees after the distinction. I don't know what the fuck that means. I agree. It's fairly mild though. I just get aroused by the bottom of women's feet. Girl I used to date told me her ex literally could not come unless she shoved her dirty socks in his mouth and stepped on his face. There are levels to this shit. Isn't it also possible that certain people have a biological or spiritual predisposition to certain fetishes, and those cartoons are just your earliest memories of those fetishes being realized? Like, most kids grow up seeing fart gags on TV, but very few become fart fetishists. This, I can 100% claim that cartoons gave me my weight gain and bull fetish. As far back as I can remember, I felt the weird tingles whenever I saw the shit in cartoons or books, like the Black Lagoon series. Supposing it's not the source of my fetish, it definitely helped aggravate it. Once you have the shit too, you notice it everywhere. There is so much goddamn vore and weight gain in children's media, it is insane. Reminds me of that producer that self-inserted himself into the last Powerpuff Girls reboot. Yeah, these animators are fucking creepy. These are the same types of people we got working on shit like Stuxnet, by the way. I think we should talk more about that writer that self-inserted himself into the show and then made Blossom in love with him. What episode was that? Could I get the TLDR version? One of the writers wrote an obvious self-insert, voiced it, and wrote it so that Blossom had a crush on the OC. The character only shows up in episodes that this specific writer writes for, and is never mentioned otherwise. name of the episode. He's in a few. The guy is called Jared Shapiro. No doubt, he is a self-insert. The name is similar. The look is the same. And he voices the character. You can call him an artist, but he gets to officially write his waifu to love him in the series, and no one stops him. Oh my goodness, Squidward. The only significant thing I remember affecting me was this fucking Dexter's Laboratory episode, where Dexter goes stupid or something, takes his clothes off, puts on a diaper, puts on lipstick, and kisses some duck or chicken in front of a lot of people, and then proceeds to put the duck / chicken in his diaper. He was also making really weird, stupid noises. Anyone remember it? It made me feel pretty sexually disturbed. I started putting things in my pants like that, and it led me to discover masturbation at a young age. Also, I remember developing a thing for pretty fat, old, mature women as a kid, both from real-life influences and from cartoons and sitcom. No inflation or feeding, though. Same here with Tinkerbell. I like fairies because of her, and not even the animated ones, but the Robin Williams Hook movie one. Honestly, fuck TV. I don't subscribe to this, you were already predisposed to it idea. If you were never exposed to it, it would have never affected you. Like with people who got assaulted young and develop all sorts of things later on, it would not have happened otherwise. What is the mechanism at play here? Many fetishes are built out of combinations of smaller, seemingly normal behaviors which people might find attractive. But the main factor is probably that normal in-person human sexuality has been culturally hidden away to such an extent that cartoons and movies form the main mechanism of sexual imprinting for large numbers of young people. I am going to assume he got the kink from the original Wonka scene, because the majority of people I've talked to also got it from there. Basically, if you watch the scene with the right mindset at an early enough age, your mind fucks up and imprints the submissive power dynamics within the scene on your sense of sexual identity. What power dynamics am I talking about, you ask? Disobedience. A character interacts with an object, in this case, chewing gum, despite being warned by the other character not to. Punishment. A character faces consequences for the decisions they have made. Immobilization. A character is rendered physically incapable of movement via some process, turning into a blueberry. Humiliation. The process of submission occurs in front of an audience. Objectification. A character is altered in a way that diminishes their humanity, turning into a sphere / blueberry. Mortality. A character undergoes a process which can, will be harmful or fatal to them. Explosion. Loss of agency. Something happens to a character which they can neither avoid nor change through their own will. And many more. These are all threads with the overarching duality of dom and sub dynamics. The blueberry scene just hits on a lot of them, and in very efficient ways. So some people develop a fetishistic attachment to the tropes and nuances of the scene. Most importantly, the action of swelling. Similar power dynamics can be found in other inflation scenes across media. To that extent, any piece of inflation porn you find will probably have at least two of the qualities I listed above. Of course, everybody is radically different in how they perceive the perversions, so it is possible none of this applies to your BF. These are just some of the very common threads I have seen expressed across the community. Funny how me and other anons have had somewhat of the same upbringings in our childhoods. Mine isn't too different, but it is whatever. It's also nice to see other people around my age into this, since it's always neat to talk about. I'm 19, and most friends I know who are into the whole thing are somewhat closeted. Meanwhile, I publicly say I like fat girls. I watched the Wonka reboot when I was a very young boy, and it fucked with me the first time I saw the berry scene. Mind you, I was like 4 to 5. My brain would attempt to process it, but all I really got out of it was that it was kinda weird, but kinda cool at the same time. I would also see the Spy Kids 2 scene albeit it did not do anything to me, and I would see the infamous Totally Spies episode. I still think the Wonka scene was the one to fuck me up the most at a young age, because it dragged me into the idea of searching things when I was like 10 to 11 on YouTube, bringing me to an eventual rabbit hole. I remember this being the order I went. Wonka Blueberry, cartoon inflation, anime inflation. Was just getting into anime, so why not? Hourglass expansion. I'm going further downhill from here. Belly inflation. Fat belly girls. We know the rest from there. YouTube was my source for stuff like that, until I found that DA existed, so I could look at things that weren't just compilations of Axel, Metal, and Pixavia. How I was never caught, except for once, to which it was presumed to be a working of my brother, since he too likes fat girls, boggles my fucking brain. Figured I'd throw this out there, because upbringings about the fat kink is fun to talk about. Thank fuck all I developed was pretty popular stuff, like BDSM. But I watched The Little Mermaid long before Willy Wonka. It was annoying, feeling too ashamed to talk about it for a while though, because I thought BDSM was rare, until I saw a poll saying they were one of the most common and socially accepted fetishes. Here is my two cents, coming from someone who has had an inflation fetish since I was 5, after seeing that goddamn Tim Burton Wonka reboot in theaters, and from someone who has formerly been severely depressed for the better part of my life, solely because of how distraught I was over my fetish. First off, whoever thought it was a good idea to expose developing minds to unreal images and concepts clearly did not account for the impact it would have on sexual development. Any how did you get your fetish read is littered with the consistent theme that fetishes begin somehow in childhood due to media exposure, yet another byproduct of industrialization, it would seem. I don't see it as any sort of coincidence that these past generations of furries have been raised on cartoons chock full of anthropomorphic animals. I can't necessarily say whether this phenomenon is an objectively bad thing, or whether or not strides should be taken to prevent developing minds from being exposed to fetish fuel, mostly because it seems that we're so deep into this tradition that attempting to control slash legislate, it seems Sisyphean, which brings me to another point. While a lot of fetishes, like inflation or niche, I don't expect them to die out anytime soon. Sure, it is very likely that it will always remain a minority compared to the larger population, but furries are a minority too, and look at the scope of their fandom, and the gradual societal acceptance, to a certain extent, many have found over the past decade. I know non-sexual furries exist, so it's not the greatest comparison. Exposed to sex in early life. How early? As a child? Too early to much remember? What kind of exposure? A sexy woman in a red bikini on TV? In this state, things which have nothing to do with sex can get linked to it. To speak not of the fact that sexual attraction probably isn't even properly developed in this state, even though the desires are. I remember as a child sitting on the carpet in front of the TV, watching Ben 10, where their suits inflated, and I felt really sort of weird in my heart. So for some people, it happens when they're quite young. There is that. The odd feeling it gave me does not appear anymore, most likely due to my exposure to it for years. From what I can remember from it, it was somewhat a sense of this could happen to you, and it being scary. It mostly felt extremely humiliating. Specifically, that you are so vulnerable that you could pop and die in a humiliating way. I do not have these feelings of humiliation anymore, and it does not turn me on. I even hid under the coffee table when the very scene of the old Willy Wonka movie started. Social acceptability is a strange thing. I am not 100% sure every fetishist would want their fetish to become commonplace. Definitely real and still persists. More modern examples would include things like that Ladybug Catboy cartoon, or a vast percentage, if not all, of Netflix originals. They are still milking Ben 10 spin-offs, but cut out most of the slow, animated transformations. In the original, you'd see Ben's human skin slowly turn into diamond sometimes, when he chose the diamond head on the Omnitrix. Probably has something to do with Ferris, if I'm gonna be honest. There seems to be a ridiculously high amount of anthropomorphic cartoons and movies with cult followings, and it only seems to be growing each year. When I was very young, I saw this Totally Spies episode where Clover gets turned into a cat. I was obsessed with this for a while. I was really interested in the idea of her turning into a human cat. I thought about it a lot. I thought about what it would feel like to touch her. I tried making drawings of her and got upset when they looked shitty. Really fucking glad it passed and I didn't turn into a furry, lol. I didn't get any weird fetishes or anything from the episode, but I definitely remember it and found it, as you said, sexually disturbing. Like, it was an early feeling of, that should not exist. He kissed the bird's ass, by the way, like, right where its asshole would have been, if I recall correctly. There were a few cartoons that disturbed me in different ways. I don't know how many Anons will be old enough to remember the What a Cartoon Show, but it was basically a show where they would throw out pilot episodes of shows, and some ended up getting made, and some didn't. Dexter's Lab started that way, as did Courage the Cowardly Dog, I think Cow and Chicken and some others. I bring it up because a lot of those pilots felt like a damn psyop. The one I recall the most was this really surreal one with a talking dog, a disturbing, dissonant, repetitive musical track, and the recurring lyric and theme of the episode was, "What is funny?" Really rubbed me the wrong way. Also, on the topic of Dexter, the puppet show with Clem and Earl had that one episode where it got way too intense and was really tonally dissonant from the rest of their appearances. Like, really aggressive and angry and not in a slapstick way. I can't really say I got any weird sexual preferences from animation though. It may have shaped my preferences as to the archetypes of women I found pretty, but that is hard to say. Dark Magician Girl from Yu-Gi-Oh! I thought was really pretty. Same with a character I don't know the name of from, I think, a hat game for PlayStation. She had brown skin and pink, shoulder-length hair. Thought she was close to perfect, conceptually. And that was just from a few pics in a video game magazine. I definitely think people should be really, really careful with what kids watch. Do you think they set out to make furries, or was it a happy accident they are willing to spread in a bid to slow down population growth? I feel like certain Sonic cartoons and shit like Space Jam might have had some intent behind it. I thought Rouge the Bat was hot when Sonic Adventure 2 first came out, and then I remember having a moment of, wait, that's a fucking bat. In fairness, it basically just looked like a chick with ears, but I'm glad I nipped that in the bud. True about the bat, I feel as if not enough people into cartoons realize that if they saw them in real life, it would be super weird. I would spend a while just gawking at an alien and trying to get used to that, let alone a talking dog or something. Have you seen the conspiracy that furries are to get humans used to the idea of aliens? I feel like I have, but I might be thinking of a similar idea, that it's to sell people on transhumanism. Like, what was that one movie called? Was it Splice? I have barely heard that one, linking it to furries. I have seen the transhuman one, trying to link in video games to get people. If you can jack into pure VR, the real world can be as shit as the rich want, while you waste your time in VR, playing games that have no real meaning. A prison of your own making, as it would be your paradise. I know too many that would jump at that offer if it was being made, and that fact scares me. If Bambi and Dexter's Laboratory were bad, imagine the absolute state of Zoomers who grew up on ElsaGate content. That's like crossing the void between softcore topless content to grotesque Japanese torture porn. Hulk urinates in the bath. Spider-Man shits balls for Elsa to bathe in. Elsa cuts off her tongue and gets double pregnant. Imagine the 3-year-old mind processing that. A prison of your own making. It's a horrifying idea, and I hope they run into some kind of impenetrable limit as to how realistic they can make it. Whether it's the visual aspect, or the sensory, or something else. I truly hope that it is never good, because the evil that will result is just gut-churning. I would rather a solar event reset all our tech back to practically zero than have to see people like that. What we have is hard enough. Elsagate, if it's not a rabbit hole you went down a few years back, the worst content has been cleared off of YouTube. But there is still plenty of weird stuff out there on YouTube Kids. You know you've gone too deep when you get to playlists of kids getting injections. Another common one was cartoon characters being killed and coming back to haunt their murderer as a ghost. And Brainbelly, what the hell was that? That makes me deeply sad. We got exposed to cartoon animators and writers' degeneracy, but having complete access to the entire internet at such a young age is beyond nightmares. They are just getting caught into it, and it's not their fault at all. I'm reminded about some economist theory stating that serial killers and such that were so popular in the 70s to 90s were significantly related to economic factors and such. If we ignore the fact that most of them were just CIA / MKUltra sponsored, and that he foretested a new wave of serial killers starting from the 2030s. That makes me think Gen Alpha today, 2010 to 2020, will be the batshit crazy sexual deviants of tomorrow. In my case, I started unknowingly astral projecting after reading a certain, very traumatizing book. I just thought the astral projection was imagination until I later found out otherwise. I did have another strange event where spirits accessed me, but I'm not sure what caused it. I've had pretty much all of these same ideas before and went through exactly what this Anon did, right down to watching compilations of Axl Rose Red and Metal Forever Art on YouTube, which are really happy, peaceful memories, disturbingly enough. This might be something our culture should at least address, if not try to mitigate, I think. The way our attitudes towards sexuality and sexual proclivities have shifted in the West in the last 20 to 30 years leads me to believe that this is unlikely, however. I have no idea what will happen if we let this process continue, but it's no doubt going to be socially and spiritually corrosive to some extent. I think it's less so about the depiction of certain fetishes in cartoons per se, and more about the combination of IRL experience involving the subject of the fetish, plus reinforcement of said fetish through cartoons. These two things have to connect in a kid's mind like two puzzles for the fetish indoctrination to resonate. For example, imagine a kid who's had a very embarrassing experience involving pooping himself. Say that the whole class laughed at him. If he sees poop jokes in cartoons, they're more likely to strike a chord with him than one kid who hasn't had such an experience. Fetishes are often coping mechanisms. They're ways of deriving pleasure from unpleasant experiences, which the psyche, for some reason, has not properly reconciled. When I say unpleasant, I don't necessarily mean deeply unpleasant or traumatic. Even small, unpleasant experiences can resonate with a developing mind. Hi friends, when I first started reading this, I was like, well, I thought it was funny, like, just some idiots, you know? But it's actually really, really disturbing if you think about it, you know? Like the Dan Schneider stuff, like putting his foot fetish in shows and... I don't know, it does kind of make you think about stuff that's being shown on... Especially kids are being shown on TV and on YouTube, especially with like the Elsagate stuff. Fucking weird, dude. It's so fucking weird.